Well, this is the last Sunday in June. I thought it was a very appropriate week to talk about the love of God, and that's what we're going to bring from the Word today. And so I got a couple of stories. I think they're probably not true, but hope they're not. Story about a man and a wife having marriage trouble, and they go to the pastor, and she says, "He never says he loves me." And the man looks at the preacher, and he says, "I told her when we married, and I'd let her know if I changed my mind." Well, most of us would like to hear it more often than that. Amen? Yeah, some of you. Okay. Story about another couple. They go to the pastor and they're having trouble with their marriage. And the woman is complaining that her husband never shows her any affection, never kisses me, never does any of this stuff, you know, and she's just so distraught and the man is just sitting there kind of passively. And in a moment of inspiration, the pastor jumps up, runs around his desk, and kisses the woman on the cheek. And he looks at the man and he says, "She needs that at least twice a week." And the man says, "Okay, what days do you want me to bring her in?" Well, he probably missed the point, right? Probably missed the point. I don't want us to miss the point today. Because everyone here would say, "I know that God loves me." I'm thinking now, there may be somebody sitting among us this morning. You wonder. Maybe you wonder. I hope the Holy Spirit's going to help you. I pray He does this morning. You know, it's the old thing. I don't know if they do this anymore, but when I was a kid, they showed on TV sometimes these people with a daisy and they'd pull the petals off. "He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me." Anybody remember that? "He loves me." You young people don't even know what we're talking about. It's okay. Moving right on. The question becomes even more important when we're talking about God. He loves me or He loves me not? He loves me? Sometimes I believe He loves me when everything's going good, and then I begin to wonder when things go bad, does He really love me? The revelation of God's love is the foundation for relationship with Him. The revelation of God's love to us is the foundation upon which every aspect of our relationship is made possible. If I'm not convinced He loves me, I won't trust Him. If I'm not convinced He loves me, I won't have peace. If I'm not convinced He loves me with an everlasting love, I will be lacking in joy. Every one of these aspects of a Christian's life are founded on the fact and the revelation of the truth that I am loved. As John would say, the apostle, the beloved. I am the beloved. You realize that John talked about himself in the Gospel of John as the one that Jesus loves, as if he didn't love anybody else. How audacious for one of the apostles to talk about themselves as the one God loves. Can I tell you this? If you don't see yourself as the beloved of God, when tough times come your way, you might struggle to believe He loves you at all. But He does. He does. I want to share with you one of the greatest love letters ever written. And the most costly object lessons of love ever demonstrated. And it's in an Old Testament book called Hosea. Let me just give you the context. Hosea was a prophet in the days when the people of God, Israel and Judah, were playing fast and loose with God. They were flirting with other pagan gods. They were flirting with the morality of the pagan nations around them. They were some of the most wicked people, and yet they were still considered God's chosen people. But they were cutthroat, adulterous, cheating, conniving, arrogant idol worshipers. And they thought as long as they just kept giving God a few sacrifices, keep Him pacified, they could play around with any other lovers that they wanted to. And God decided to give them a massive object lesson in an attempt to win their hearts and reveal the majesty, beauty, depth, and incredible nature of His unending love for them. He told Hosea, go marry a prostitute. God told him this. Go marry a prostitute, have children. He did. Had two children. And God began to prophesy, and He told him to name his kids certain things that designated God's attitude about His people Israel. He married this woman, they had two kids, and she went back to the streets. And that's where we pick the story up in chapter 3, which is on the screen there. You can read along with me. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites. Which, by the way, this is the point of the whole book of Hosea. Hosea is being commanded by God to become a massive, costly, incredible object lesson of the love that God has for His own people. And He's basically requiring Hosea to act out the kind of love that He has for His people. Though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cake. In other words, the first in worshiping a foreign god. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver. By this time, evidently, she had a pimp, and he was pimping her out. This is what we call sex trafficking, you know, modern day slave.
Was coming. He bought her back. And then I told her, you were to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way towards you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. In other words, God is saying through Hosea, I'm about to judge my wife that continues to be unfaithful to me. I'm about to let her hit the wall, but eventually she's going to come back. Afterward, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to His blessings in the last days. In other words, I'm never going to give up on my people. Remember, love is patient. Love suffers long. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. If that doesn't describe God, it doesn't describe anybody. So, how does He love us? What can we learn? And I'm going to jump through the book of Hosea, and I just warn you, I'm going to read a few passages of Scripture to you because I just can't say it as good as the Bible says it. I'm going to read some multiple verses to you several times. So some of them you can see on the screen and read with me. Some of them I'm just going to read to you because I believe it'll be better just for you to listen to them as if somebody is addressing you, which they are. So how does He love us? The way He told Hosea to love Gomer. Yeah, we're not talking about the goofy guy on Andy Griffith. I don't know how in the world they gave that guy the name Gomer on that show. But Gomer was a woman's name. So just kind of get that straight in your head, all you Andy Griffith fans. How does God love us? The way Hosea was told to love Gomer. Number one, he loved her, and God loves us with tenderness. With tenderness. The first thing he says to Hosea after his wife leaves and goes to the street again is, go love your wife. Show love to your wife. Love her with tenderness and with affection. If you go to chapter 2 in Hosea, you're going to hear this from the lips of God. He says, let me find it. I will punish her for the day she burned incense to the Baals. She decked herself with rings and jewelry and went after her lovers, but she forgot, declares the Lord. Therefore, I'm now going to allure her. I will lead her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. This is God talking about His people. This is God, you might say, talking about you and me. There I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor a door of hope. There she will respond as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came out of Egypt. In that day, declares the Lord, you'll call me my husband. You will no longer call me my master. I will remove the names of the Baals from her lips. No longer will their names be invoked. In that day I will make a covenant for them with the beast of the field, the birds in the sky, and the creatures that move along the ground. Bow and sword and battle I will abolish from the land so that all may lie down in safety. I will betroth her to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness, and you will acknowledge the Lord. In that day I will respond, declares the Lord. I will respond to the skies, and they'll respond to the earth, and the earth will respond to the grain, the new wine and the olive oil, and they will respond to Jezreel. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved. I will say to those called not my people, you are my people. And they will say, you are my God. That is a love letter from the God we sang about this morning. To a people that were very unfaithful, with divided hearts and compromised commitment to the one that made them a nation and saved them. There's one more place that I think is especially pertinent also, and it's, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to go to Hosea and read this one. I just want you to hear the heart of God coming through these pages. This is all the way over in chapter 11, and I challenge you to read Hosea. It says in verse 1, when Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. As they called them, talking about the prophets, so they went from them, meaning they went away from the prophets. They sacrificed to the Baals and burnt incense to carved images. Listen to this. I taught Ephraim to walk. Any parents in the house? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Come on. Parent? Are you a parent? Have you taught your children to walk? It's a beautiful moment, isn't it? I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love, and I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. Come on, open up. Here comes the airplane. Om, nom, 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 nom. This is God talking. This is that God that you've heard was mean and harsh and judgmental. This is that God. I drew them with cords, with gentle cords, with bands of love. I was to them as those who take the yoke from the neck. I stoop and fed them. There's more. I mean, you can read all the way through this. In verse 8, how can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboim? These are towns that were destroyed. My heart churns within me. This is God talking about us. My heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. Wow. He loves us with tenderness. He also loves us with toughness. Anybody ever heard of tough love? Anybody ever felt like you had to give some tough love? Meaning give somebody what they really need, not what they want? If you're a parent, you had to give some tough love at some point, right? Some of you has had to give some tough love in your marriage. I don't know, but I know that God loves us with toughness. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. The first thing is this, is he let her suffer some consequences, but then he set up parameters and he kept coming back, kept on loving. This one is on the screen. Read it with me. Hosea 2, their mother has been unfaithful and has conceived them in disgrace. She said, I will go after my lovers who give me my food and my water, my wool and my linen, my olive oil and my drink. Therefore, I will block her path with thorn bushes. This is God talking. The same God that loves with tenderness, this is him talking with toughness. I will wall her in so that she cannot find her way. What's he saying? I'm going to let something happen that will cause my wife, my lover, my people, I'm going to allow something to happen that will turn their heart back to me. I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to let it happen. See, God can turn off blessings because he loves us, not because he doesn't. He wants to turn our hearts back to him, not just for his sake, but for our sake. Here's another verse for you, Hosea 6, 4 through 6. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I killed you with the words of my mouth. Then my judgments go forth like the sun, for I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. I want you to hear what I'm about to say and hear it well. The most loving thing God will ever do is let anything happen that's required to turn our hearts completely to him. Let me say that again. You see it on the screen. The most loving thing that God can ever do is let anything or something happen that will turn our hearts completely to him. You say, well, God ain't ever, if he loves me, he'll never let anything happen negative to me. I'm sorry, that's just not scriptural. If God loves me, he will do whatever it takes for my heart to be turned completely to him. If he loves me. If he loves me. You say, I'm not comfortable with that. Pray about it. Just pray about it. Hosea 5, 14 through 15. I will tear them to pieces and go away. I will carry them off with no one to rescue them. Then I will return to my lair until they have borne their guilt and seek my face. In their misery, they will earnestly seek me. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Have you ever had to wait until you got in a pickle before you really started praying? Now, if you just want to be bold and say, yeah, that's me. I've done that. I really started praying when I got in a mess. Amen? Most of us, I think if we want to be open, we would admit we pray more passionately. We connect with God more tenaciously when we're in trouble. I don't like that about me. But I have to admit, I pray with a lot more passion, a lot more consistently if I've got issues weighing on me. Do you? Just nod. You ain't got to say amen. Just, yeah, yeah. Sure I do. Would it be loving for God to just let our hearts drift away from him and never come back? Would that be love? It'd be the same thing if one of us, our spouse, was being drawn away by someone else and we just let it happen. We just let it happen. Would that be love? I can tell you this. God loves us too much to let our hearts just drift away from Him. He loves us too much. He loves us too much. His love is tough and it comes after us. But that's the last one I'm going to talk about, is it's tenacious as well. But it is definitely tough. Tolerating sin in our lives is not love, because sin destroys relationship. It's like tolerating infidelity in a marriage. Let me say that again. God tolerating sin in our lives is like one of us tolerating adultery in our marriage. It's not the loving thing to do, to just sit and watch it happen. Boy, it's quiet in here. Y'all thought y'all were going to get something really mushy, didn't you? There ain't nothing mushy about God's love, folks. It is fierce. His love is fierce. His love is jealous for you. His love desires you with an everlasting desire. He is not willing that any should perish. He's coming after you. He's wooing you. He's trying to speak to every one of us and draw us into the center of His red-hot love. The third thing is, He loves us with truthfulness. You see, God reminded Hosea when He said, go back to the streets, find your adulterous wife, buy her back, do whatever you got to do, bring her back, though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress. What's God saying? He's saying, listen, I realize this ain't going to be easy, Hosea. I realize this is real. This is not mushy stuff. You're going to have to man up here. You're going to have to make a determination in your heart. You're going to look past the flaws and look for the value in this woman and in obeying me, because that's what I do with my people. I look past all their sin. I don't excuse their sin, but I look past all that mess and I see something inside them that's valuable to me, and I'm going after it, and I'm not going to let go of it. I'm not going to coddle their sin. I'm not going to play patty cake with all of their deviant infidelities and adulteries against me. I'm not going to ignore it. I'm going into love fully aware of what they've done. But there's still something in them that I value, that I valued so much I paid by the price of my son's blood for it. Something about you. Something created inside you that is valuable to God. And even though sin has twisted it and perverted it maybe, and slimed it and defiled it, God still sees His image embedded deep inside you, and He values that, and He values it so much, He'll come after you over and over and over and over again. He loves you that much. He won't excuse your sin. He'll deal with it. But He won't give up on you because you're sinning either. He's coming after you. He's coming after you. Let's be honest. Everybody in this room wants to be loved like that. Do you not? Everyone in this room, everyone joining us on by Facebook Live today, you want to be loved like that. And your spouse may not love you like that. They love you, but they may not love you like that. How does He love me? Let me count the ways. I don't know. Is that Shakespeare? I don't know. I never was a Shakespeare guy. But you've got somebody that loves you like that. Even if your spouse falls short, even if your lover, human lover, falls short of that, even if your parent or your children falls short of loving you like that, the good news of the gospel is He loves you like that. And when He loves me like that, I can walk in joy. I can walk in peace. I can walk with purpose. I can walk in fullness of life if I just know He loves me like that. He looks beyond our flaws to love the value that He created in us. See, when I was in Bible college, I had gotten this impression somehow before I went there that I'd heard preachers say things like, "You're a totally worthless piece of filth, but He loves you anyway." I struggled with that. And there came a point in my life where I believe God helped me see that in God's eyes I had value. That's why He paid a price for me. Even in all my sinfulness, even in all the twisted motivations of my heart, even in all of the dark spots and flaws of who I was, He looked beyond all of that and deeper down, and He said, "This person was created in My image, and I put something beautiful in them that I want to fully develop. And though it's smeared and twisted by sin and selfishness and fear and pride, even though it's all encrusted with crud, I want what I created to come forth. And I'm willing to pay for it with the death of My Son on the cross." He loves us with truthfulness. He doesn't ignore our flaws. He just goes beyond them and continues loving and working on us. He designed you with something valuable because that was His purpose. The final thing is, He loves us with tenacity. He loves us with tenacity. Go show your love to your wife again. Again. And again, and again, and again. And some of you are sitting here and you've prayed a prayer like this: "God, how can You forgive me?" Again. You wonder why we sing about the love of God? That's why. That's why. Again. Truthful, tender, tough, and tenacious. He keeps on coming. He keeps on coming. Hosea kept going after her, and just like God pursues us long after we stop pursuing Him. Anybody ever been in a one-sided relationship? God knows how you feel. Many times, let's be honest, He's doing all the loving and we're not responding very well. Can I hear an amen from anybody besides me? Amen. Those people at the lake today are dying to know what I just said to you. They very badly want to believe, many of them, that what I just shared with you about the reason that it's good news, they're not convinced of that. Let me just say this: there's nothing passive about our God. There's nothing passive. Nothing passive about His love. He don't just sit around twiddling His thumbs and whistling at the dark. His love is not passive. His love is active. His love is active. The reason I've asked you to pray over and over again, I want the worship team, if you would, just go ahead and come back up. We're going to partake of the elements here in just a moment. His love is not passive. Bring your communion cup with you. The reason I asked you to pray the prayer I asked you to pray earlier is because of this. We must see His love to experience it. He has to reveal His love for it to become real to us. Amen? How many of you grew up singing this little song, Jesus loves me, this I know? Anybody? Until the Holy Spirit makes that real to you in a way that motivates you to respond to Him, it's just a little children's song. He created you to love. I mean, He created you so He could love you. And so that you and I could enjoy loving Him back. That's why He created us. And if we miss that part of it, we missed everything. We missed it all. Only when we truly see His love can we experience the wonder of it. Only when we experience His love can we love Him back with our whole hearts and love other people. His love for us enables our love for Him. Remember the scripture in 1 John? We love Him because He first loved us. He's the initiator, and we're the responders. He's the initiator. And He's talking to you today. He's talking to you to the degree that you are open and desiring to hear His voice. And He wants to make His love so real to every one of us that it explodes in us. My prayer for today is that He would baptize us in His love. He would just saturate us with His love. Because that's the foundation of being able to respond to Him back like He deserves and being able to love other people and show them His love. Amen. I'm not going to ask for a hand again, but I'll just ask the rhetorical question. Have you ever had trouble loving somebody? I know the answer to that. And I'll say, yes, I have. Yes, I have. The more I experience His love for me, the more capable I am of giving His love to someone else. And that's the order it has to happen. I was hoping that Jim and Carol Craig would be here this morning. I don't see them. I don't know if they were in Sunday school and they left, but Carol, most of you know that Jim has got cancer all over his body. God healed him about 7 years ago of cancer. And God basically raised him from the dead. He had a heart attack and had no heartbeat laying in their yard one day, and Carol commanded him to come back, and he came back. You say, I don't believe that. Okay. I believe it. God don't do that anymore. Okay. Tell Jim that. I went and saw Jim and Carol this week, and Jim just started talking about how much he loved Jesus. And they do communion at home once a week. And Carol told me, she said, every time we do communion, he starts crying. And he started crying while she was telling it. And he said, I just can't believe how much he loves me. He never got over how much God loved him. May God help us to never get over how much He loves us. Because it is the root of everything else in our life. I said, Jim, one of the reasons I respect you so much is because I know he's told me this before. He don't even want us praying for his healing. He's ready to be with Jesus. And right now he's not in terrible constant pain, but he just wants to be with Jesus. He loves Jesus so much, he would rather be there than here. I would say he had a revelation of God's love for him. Amen. Mm-hmm.